Let me jump right in with this true story. A guy named Herman Wouk tells of a meeting that he had with Israel's first modern president. So we're talking with the rebirth of Israel in the 40s. And the guy's name was a man, the president's name was a man by the name of David Ben-Gurion. And this happened in 1955. Herman Wouk writes and he says, David invited Sarah and me, his wife, to come to his home. The next morning, we came to his home in a command car escorted by a jeep with a mounted machine gun, for the raw little country was being bloodily harassed in broad daylight by terrorists from Egypt. After dinner, he came straight out with an invitation for me to move to this new fledgling country. David Ben-Gurion said to me, "You must return to live here. This is the only place for Jews like you. Here you will be free." Herman replied, "Free? Free? David, come on. With enemy armies ringing all around you, with their leaders publicly declaring that they're seeking to wipe out Israel, with your roads impassable after sundown, free?" David Ben-Gurion replied, "I did not say safe. I said free." Sometimes to live free requires an act of courage. But how do we actually get the courage we need in order to lead the lives of freedom that God has created us for? We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for your goodness, and we've sung of it, and now, God, we will hear about it and read about it, and I pray, God, that you would meet us. Pray for those who gather that you would meet us as we are. Would you welcome us to take one step closer to you? Would you compel us to do that? For those who are here, maybe who don't know you, have never given their lives to you, God, I pray for them that you would help them sense you and see you, that they wouldn't just let the moment pass them by. For those who are here and feel a sense of, "I've given my life to you, God," would you meet us as well? Would you give us the confidence, the courage that we need to follow you all the days of our life? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and grab your bulletins, open those up to that little center section there. You'll see the teaching notes that you can follow along and fill out as we go throughout our time together. The scriptures will come up on the screens as we move along. Well, we come this weekend to chapter 7 of the story. It's really a chapter of courage. And the story, this thing called the story, is simply selected passages of the Bible set into chapters so that we can read the story of God with his people as one ongoing novel, one ongoing true story. And if you're just joining us, as has been mentioned, you can jump into this journey with us, jump into the chapter that we're in. We're going to be reading chapter 8 this upcoming week. By the way, how many of you read chapter 7 this week? Pop your hand up. Look at that. That's great. Great to see. Awesome. Keep it up. If you have been reading, you know that on the weekends, we can only touch on one part of the chapter. So if you haven't been reading, I want to encourage you to do that because you'll miss out if you don't. When we see or hear a story of great courage, whether on the news or social media, or maybe you went to the movies and you saw a movie that had that, doesn't it just make you wonder, I wonder how I would have responded in that moment? How would I have responded? We wonder, if I ever come to a moment like that, will I have the kind of courage that I just read about or I just saw about? Now, for most of us, we go through life and we try not to have moments like that, right? We try not to have moments that will require great courage. We try not to have those moments. We try to avoid as many of the risks as possible. In fact, we think that's kind of wise. In the swimming pool of life, most of us do our very best to stay in the shallow end, but there will become these moments that come into each and every one of our lives where we will have to make a decision of courage. Here's what I would say. All of us, more often than we might think, are called to be men and women of courage in our everyday life. Oh, it might not be dramatic. It might not get your name in the paper. There might not be a crowd standing waiting to cheer and applaud when the moment comes. And yet, the moment comes, the question is, will we have the courage? It takes great courage to be who God has created us to be, to get where God wants us to go. It takes courage when a young woman who hears this message will decide to break off a dating relationship with a guy she really likes because she knows that the relationship isn't honoring God, but she's afraid to be alone. That takes great courage. It takes great courage to say to your boss, you know, I'm not going to cut corners. I'm not going to doctor the receipts anymore. It takes great courage to downsize your life to allow for some margins so that you can give back to the purposes of God in the world around you. It takes great courage when someone this week in one of the life groups of Christian Assembly will come clean. It'll take great courage as they force the words out of their mouth and they say, I'm really struggling. I need help. Anger has taken over my life, or alcohol or envy or gossip or insecurity or pornography or complaint is eating me alive. It takes great courage to be honest like that. It takes great courage to fight to love again in a marriage when you no longer feel in love right now. It takes great courage to make a commitment to Christ and then follow through and get baptized, not certain what others might think. That takes great courage. All of us in our everyday life have opportunities where we have what I would call defining moments of courage. In fact, in your notes there, in the teaching notes, you can see it. We cannot live the lives that we were created for without defining moments of courage. The life that you were created for will be intersected by moments that will require defining moments of courage. And then that will determine some of what the next chapter of your story looks like. Well, last week, God and his people were in the wandering. They were in the desert. This week, they're now poised to cross the boundary into the land that God had promised to give to his descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel. Moses has died at this point, but prior to his death, God told Moses to appoint Joshua as the new leader of the people. Joshua was roughly 40 to 50 years younger than Moses, so he represented the next generation of leaders, so to speak. Joshua is going to be the one who leads the people into the promised land and the promises of God. Now, let's just press pause for a moment. Flashback 40 years earlier, and the people were then poised to enter into the promised land as well. Moses sends 12 spies who go and scout out the land, and they now come back with this report that we get from Numbers 13. It says this. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit that it produces, and they showed an example of some of the grapes. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified with walls. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. So 10 of the spies come back with that report, but 2 of the spies come back with a different report, and they essentially say this, look, God said that we can do this, so we can do this. So let's go and take the land at once. Those 2 spies that give the minority report were named Caleb and Joshua. They had courage in that moment when the others did not. They trusted what God said in their defining moment when others doubted. Incidentally, this is why I named my son Caleb from this passage, because I want him to be and grow to be a man who has that kind of courage. And here's what we see from Joshua's life. Remember, 40 years ago, he wasn't the leader of the nation. He was just one of the 12 spies that were sent into the land. And what we see in these defining moments of courage is this, is that faithfulness in the small things will enable confidence in the big things in your life. Early in the story, there's a time when Moses, he goes into the tent of meeting and Joshua goes with him. And then Moses leaves, but Joshua then lingers. He spends time with God. In Exodus 33, we see this. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp. And then we have this line. But the young man who assisted him, Joshua, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. In other words, Joshua has been lingering with God. He's been faithful to be with God. He was faithful in those small moments. He didn't rush by them. He didn't rush out of the tent of meeting. Later, Joshua was one of the first people sent into the land. He wasn't in charge of an entire nation. He was just one of 12 people, one of 12 spies sent into the land. But he was faithful in that small moment as well. So often we think, God, when the moment comes, when I need a big act of courage, I'll just summon it up somehow. I'll just get the confidence somehow. But the reality is that the big moments just expose what we've been doing with the smaller moments of our lives. See, if you want to be a person of courage, you must be a person of faithfulness in the small things. It is faithfulness in the small things that empower you to have confidence in the big things. So now we pick up the story back in chapter 7, and they're about to go into the promised land. God speaks to Joshua, and this is what he says in Joshua 1. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land that I have given you. I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I vowed to their ancestors that I would give to them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and be sure that you obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, four times there, we see this repeating phrase, be strong and be courageous. Why do you think God says that so often to Joshua? Here's why, I think. Joshua has been in the land. Joshua, he's seen the fortified walls around the city. He's seen the people about whom he's about to go into battle against. God is speaking over and over to him before he actually needs his moment of courage. And here's another thing we see from Joshua's life when it comes to courage, which is this, that God's word to him now will become the source of the courage through him later. God's word to you now will provide the courage that you need later. When you get to that defining moment in your life, it's pretty hard to summon up the courage if you don't have God's word to you. God prepares us now for what will be required later. It's happening right in this moment. You don't know it, but this week, many of you will be called upon to be obedient in the midst of your fears. This week, you'll be given the opportunity, the defining moment, to be courageous. You don't know when, but God does, and he has sent you here now to hear this word so that you can become courageous in that moment that is coming your way. In fact, as we get further down in the story, there's a book called Romans that says that faith comes by the hearing of God's word. You see, if you walk out of here and you think, well, that was a nice church message, then you're not going to have any faith later. But if you walk out of here and you think, I think that God is actually speaking to me, I think that wasn't just God's word to Joshua, it's God's word to me now, here, then when you face your defining moment of courage this week or this month, then faith will arise. Courage will be there when you need it this week if you hear God's word to you now. Before they get to the city of Jericho, they see why God had told them so often to be courageous. They get onto the plains of Jericho. Jericho's set up on a hill a little bit, and they see the walls in the distance. The walls of Jericho, the city, was famous for being impenetrable. There were actually two sets of walls. There was the outer wall and the inner wall. The outer wall was actually 6 feet thick. The inner wall was 12 feet thick. Both walls had guards stationed. And so if you got up over the first wall, you were trapped between the two walls where they could shoot at you and with, you know, their armors and the battles weaponry that they had, they could kill you trapped between the two walls there. So the outer wall was 6 feet thick. The inner wall was 12 feet thick. What could they do? They couldn't go over it. They knew if they went over it, they'd get slaughtered. They couldn't go through it because the walls were so thick. Now, for a moment, I want you to think about the walls you might be facing in your own life. Is there a challenge? Is there a situation that just seems too big that you just feel stuck? Your strategy can't figure out the best way through it. Maybe it's an outer wall. Maybe it's something someone is doing to you and you just feel stuck in that situation. Maybe it's an inner wall. Maybe it's something that's going on in your heart. Maybe it's going on with an attitude or a feeling that you simply can't get around. Where are the walls in your life? Maybe it's health news. Maybe it's somebody that you've been wanting to reach out to, but you just can't get over the wall. God had prepared them. He said, be strong and courageous. The battle is right about to begin. And then God speaks again. And when he speaks this time, it seems like he makes a grammar mistake, that he kind of got, you know, a D in grammar school, at least it seems. Joshua 6:2, it says this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered, past tense, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. And I wonder if Joshua in that moment is thinking, well, the battle hasn't really started yet, God. And so, you see, God, we're still facing these really high, strong walls that we don't know what to do about. We can't go over them. We can't go through them. They're too thick. And if we go over them, that's going to be a problem. And so, God, I don't really know if you understand. You haven't really delivered it, past tense, to us yet, because nothing's kind of happened yet. It's interesting how God talks about what has not yet happened as if it already has. It's as if he actually knows the future. It's as if he actually has some control in this. Courageous faith is speaking of what has not yet happened as if it already has. Now here's the key, but only if God has promised it. Don't do this if it's something you really wish God would say or promise that God has never said or promised. People do this all the time. They'll say, well, I really wanted this to happen, and I thought it was really going to happen, and I thought God should want this to happen, and now I'm disappointed because it didn't happen. Don't hold God to promises that God's never made to you. But if God has made that promise, then you can be assured that it will come to pass. I don't know how. It might not be what you would think, but it'll come to pass. 14 times in the story, God promises to give them this land. It's the promises of God that gives us the power to be courageous. But then here now, before the battle, they hear God's battle plan. And it's a little suspect. Check it out. Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 says this. Joshua, I want you to march around the city with once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days straight. Then have 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Now, if you are Joshua and you're the general, you've got to be thinking, I don't know about this, right? Here's Joshua. He's a great commander, a lot of battlefield experience, and you've got to be thinking, hey, God, can I show you my alternative battle plan? Because that one kind of seems weird. I can tell you that in Joshua's alternative battle plan, at no point would it have included the phrase, and then we're going to send the marching band out into the battlefield. Like, at no point would that have been there, right? Or maybe he's thinking, well, God, maybe this is going to be an inside job. Maybe you have, like, one of the, you know, Jericho generals that, you know, has kind of turned your direction, and God, do you have someone on the inside? And God says, yeah, actually I do. I have a prostitute. Her name's Rahab on the inside, and she's going to help us out. And so the battle plan of God revolves around a prostitute and a marching band. And I'm not certain how well this would have gone over with the Pentagon, right? And some of my military friends, when I tested that out, they were like, no, actually, that's kind of what they're like sometimes, the battle plans of the Pentagon. It's like God stacks the odds against himself, so it will be clear for all who see that Joshua might have went down on record as the winning commander, but the battle belonged to the Lord, and everyone would see it. See, courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward in the presence of fear. Psychologists will tell us that the number one way that we deal with fear is not by courage, but by what? Avoidance. Avoidance. You get invited to go to a party. If If you feel like you're the only one, going to be the only one you know at the party, you don't know anybody there, you'll be all alone, what do? You just don't go to the party. Or if you're in a relationship and it gets hard, you don't want to deal with it, and so it's a little bit easier to avoid it, and so you withdraw a little bit. Or maybe you're in a financial challenge and a bill comes your way in the mail and you're nervous about what the amount is, so you throw it on the dining room or the table or the counter, and it sits on the counter for days or even weeks because you're afraid to open it up and face with whatever's inside there. Or maybe your kid needs to be disciplined, but you know, you just don't want to deal with the conflict of it, and so you just kind of let it slide. You just kind of back up and avoid it a little bit. The story teaches us that courage is doing what you are called to do by God, even when you are afraid. So let me ask you, just think for a moment about your life. What is God asking you to do that you're afraid to do? The question isn't, what are you afraid to do? The question is, what is God asking you to do that you're afraid to do? Will you have the courage even though you're scared? Even though you don't know how it will turn out, even though you're tired, even though you've tried before and it didn't work out, remember, 40 years earlier, the people could have entered the promised land. Last week, as we looked at the wandering, people were like, well, why did God send them all that kind of circuitous route to get into the promised land? Well, God's plan was actually to get them directly into the promised land after their 1 year hiatus camped around the base of Mount Sinai, where they learned what it means to be the people of God. But when that previous generation came to their defining moment of courage, they balked. They didn't trust God, and that's why they went back around, and that's why they went into all of that wandering. 40 years earlier, they listened to the 10 spies who said, compared to the people living in the land, we're like small grasshoppers. Now, 40 years later, the next generation has their chance. But are they going to be willing to go into the same land with the same walls, with the same fear-inducing warriors? It turns out they are. But why the difference? Why the different ending? Why did that happen this time? 40 years earlier, their fathers weren't willing to do it, but now they are. Why the difference? And here's why, and this is what we see, is they went from focusing on their smallness to God's bigness. Remember the previous generation, they said, well, we're like grasshoppers compared to the people in the land. But this next generation doesn't say that. The only way to defeat the walls in your life is to take your eyes off your smallness and to take them off the walls and how immovable they seem. And instead, you have to put your eyes again on God's bigness and what he has said he will do. God is looking for a generation, and God is looking for a people in every generation that will look at his bigness. Remember, this is the same God who in chapter 1 of the story breathed out the stars and breathed out the planets, and he formed the oceans. This is that same God. You see, I'm wondering if God is inviting you and inviting me to make our story about his bigness. That your story would radiate that God is actually bigger than your problems, bigger than your fears, bigger than your regrets, bigger than your shame, bigger than the wall that is in front of you that you can't go over and you can't pound your way through. God says, be strong and courageous. Do you want that? I don't know anyone who says, no thanks. I don't want to be strong and courageous. I'd rather be anxious and fearful. That's kind of what I'd like to be. But do you know how many of us spend too much time with anxiety and fear? How do you get the courage you need? Do you just kind of push a button? Do you psych yourself up? Do you just play like, you know, Eye of the Tiger or Rambo themes over and over and over again, like, you know, kind of getting yourself all juiced up, ready to go? See, more than any other way, what I think the story is teaching us in this chapter is that it begins by praying. Remember, Joshua lingered in the tent with God. And as you pray, remembering just how big God is, remembering his promise that if you are in Christ, that he is with you and he is for you. See, courage is not something that we drum up in and of ourselves to try to show God how devoted we are. God, look, I'm going to be so devoted to you. I'm just going to be super courageous. I hope you'll love me more because I've tried to be really courageous for you. That's not what's going on here. Instead, the courage to be courageous comes from God and his word. I love this definition. A friend of mine gave it to me a couple weeks ago. He said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. A while back when I was working on this message, I asked my Facebook friends for just a five-word phrase that describes a lie that has marked their story. Five words that someone said to them or they picked up somewhere along the way that has injected anxiety and fear and discouragement into their story. These aren't my words. These are people's own words of their five-word phrase that mark their story, their life as they look back over their life. I put this up on Facebook, and my Facebook notifications just lit up. Hundreds of people responded. This is just a few of the responses that I received. I want to read them to you. Five words that mark their story with a lie. It's too late for you. You've messed up too much. No one will want you. God doesn't love you anymore. You'll never be good enough. She probably likes him better. It's never going to happen. There's plenty of time left. You've failed as a mom. You're just like your dad. It'll be like this forever. You are on your own. You don't need any help. Things won't change for you. Amazing how quickly when you put that up, people can think of a five-word phrase that has robbed them of strength and courage. Now, I don't know what your phrase is, but you could probably think of one, or maybe one of those, when I read it, is like, ouch, that is probably pretty close to my five-word phrase. You probably have your own five-word phrase that has robbed you of strength and courage, but I want to give you five new words for you to think about. Five new words that will replace all the other five-word phrases that have marked your story, and they come from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Here it is, I will be with you. I will be with you. God says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Okay, God, that's what I want. I don't want to be anxious and fearful, but how? Why? How can I be strong and courageous? I will be with you. This is what Jesus says to his followers in John chapter 14. I will be with you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ here now, that promise applies to you. And if you've never given your life to Christ, you can do that now. You can say, I want God to be with me and I want to be with God. That's the beginning of the birth of faith in your life. And if that's you, you can say, God, would you take my sin and would you make me new from the inside out? Would you be with me in the way that Tom is talking about, in the way that you said to Joshua, in the way that Jesus said to his disciples, I will be with you. He went on, Jesus, and he says, I will never leave or forsake you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending another, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. You see, you don't have to lead a life of anxiety and fear. We can live lives of strength and of courage. Why? How? Because God is with us as we are in Christ, and he is bigger than any wall we might face, stronger than any enemy that we might fight. And it is not of ourselves. This is not a teaching for those of you who just kind of are confident people. This is a teaching for those of you who say, I feel anxious, I feel fearful, and I feel alone. How do I move past that? You move past that by seeing that God is with you. It's from him. May our eyes be focused on his bigness and not on our smallness. The last thing Jesus said to his disciples after resurrecting was this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Will you pray with me for a moment? So, Father, now we pray and I ask anywhere that we feel anxious, anywhere we feel alone, anywhere we feel afraid, would you bring those things to mind now so, God, that we can deal with them? Would you get our eyes off of our smallness and onto your bigness? Would you give us your word to us now that it'll be our courage through us later? God, would you do that? Your word that you will be with us? God, you know our fears. You know where we feel weak and afraid. And so now speak your word to our hearts to be strong and courageous because of what you've promised that you will be with us. Now listen, on both sides of the street, I want to close a little differently this today. I want to challenge our fears to say it's prayers. I want to challenge you to trust, even if you don't know how it will all work out. I want us to be a people, I want us to be a generation that stops focusing on how small we are and starts focusing on how big God is. Now, we're going to end today with something called a call and response. Maybe you've heard this before. And what will happen, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to say some words, and they're going to end with the statement, be strong and courageous. So I'll say something, and then I'll say, be strong and courageous, and then you will respond with the five words that God says to Joshua, that Jesus said to his followers, I will be with you, right? So that's your part. So after I say something and say, be strong and courageous, you're going to say, I will be with you, all right? So let's stand together, both sides of the street with a loud voice. Is the wall in your life too high and too big? Be strong and courageous. Do you have people that accuse or mock you? Be strong and courageous.
I will be with you.
Do you see a scary and an uncertain future? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
Have you lost sight of the reason to hope? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
What is God asking you to do that you're afraid to do? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
Is fear and anxiety robbing your life of joy? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
Are you afraid and uncertain that God will provide for you as you seek first his kingdom? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
Is it time to make some changes in your life, to do what God has commanded? Be strong and be courageous.
I will be with you.
My friends, I want you to dream again, to see what God sees. Then trust his promises, to trust his word. And I say to you what he has said to us, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Only be strong and courageous this week and forevermore. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray now with those words, those five words, I will be with you. Would they be a source of strength and courage when we meet our defining moments of courage this week? God, would you help us to remember those words as we live out the story you're writing in each one of our lives? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.